Well, good morning to each one. Trust that as we enter into worship, come to appreciate our Prince of Peace even more. My thoughts go to peace because in this Advent season, this second week of Advent is focused on peace. And so that's where my mind went to, is what is it, or what can we learn about our Prince of Peace once again? So the first coming of Jesus brought peace between God and sinners. And one thought I want to stress or elaborate on is that we're currently living in a second Advent. We're waiting the second coming of Jesus again. And that second coming will bring about an eternal peace for God's people. As we look around the world today and as we think about peace, we could legitimately ask a question, where? Where is this peace? And we also wrestle with the prophecy that Jesus is the Prince of Peace and some of Jesus' own words. So how do we resolve that? We'll circle around to that, I think, in a minute. The prophecy I'm talking about is in Isaiah 9:6. And it reads, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government," Josh, can you help the slide up here? "And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And when they came to the shepherds and announced the birth of Jesus, the angels repeated this theme of peace as well. Luke 2:14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." In Isaiah's lifetime, even then, you could legitimately ask the question, how is this to be? How is this peace supposed to be presented? And in Isaiah's lifetime, Israel fell to the Assyrians and entered into captivity. So we could ask the question, is this desire for a Prince of Peace an apocryphal myth told to keep up national morale? And in the context of Israel's culture, was the us a reference to their nationality? And arguably, indicators in the ceremonial law would indicate that this Prince of Peace was for the Israelites. If you remember, in the theocratic Old Covenant, there was division between the Jews and the Gentiles was clearly dictated and elaborated. God gave specific instructions along that line. So what man could barely envision, what Isaiah was getting at with the prophecy, God, we see, fulfills in brilliant colors. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Ephesians 2:14-16, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." What Isaiah foretold, Paul explains with clarity. The both is a reference to Jews and Gentiles and is no longer the difference as was historically understood. By fulfilling the ceremonial law, Jesus creates, as Paul states it, a new man. The fulfilling of the law by the cross provides reconciliation with the Father. And through that vertical reconciliation, we are reconciled also to our fellow man, a reconciliation that transcends nationalities and social identities. Paul elaborates more on this in Galatians 3:28. That's the reality of the reconciling cross. That's the first Advent. And that's the first version of peace that that is referenced. Now we come to Jesus' words. In Matthew 10:34-36, there's more there, but these are the verses I have here. He says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." Set against Isaiah's prophecy and the fulfillment at the cross are these words of Jesus. He makes it clear that though ultimate peace is found in him, this good news would not be welcomed by all. There are those who will oppose it. And we understand it. Jesus is not calling for conflict. He's not explicitly saying to be at odds with each other. But when we live lives that are oriented to the kingdom of God, there will be tension with the kingdom of the world. And in short, and if I can put it as bluntly as this, we are in a war. And there may be people, there may be family members, people we interact with in society, people we like, who are on both sides of this war. And this is a tough reality. Isaiah 48, verse 22. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. So where is this peace that is promised? I think we start glimpsing an answer when we consider these words as well. As we took a brief look at this morning, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came, and in his reconciling work, reconciled all of humanity to God. This, while wonderful and glorious and deserving to be proclaimed throughout all the world, is warred upon by the forces of hell and creates strife between humanity. And for those who do not choose the reconciling work of the cross, they search to fill that God-sized hole in their heart. And in this constant search, it mitigates against a lasting peace. These words by Augustine, I treasure, because there's a deep truth in there as well. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Doing a quick recap. The Prince of Peace has come. He has fulfilled his work at the cross. And yet this work can be divisive. Not all choose to accept that reconciling work. And for those who live, who are outside the family of God, they struggle to find lasting peace. Money, fame, it's all part of the search for that peace. So this morning, my reminder is we are currently living in the second advent. We are awaiting the second return of the Prince of Peace and the ultimate eternal peace that this brings. May that be the promise that keeps us going. I would like to close by singing this song, Comfort, Comfort Ye My People. We'll sing verses 1 and 2. I'll have Shane come out and lead that. Following that, I would like to have a time of singing as well, particularly focused on this theme of peace, as well as particularly also focused in on songs of Advent, songs of Christmas that speak to that peace as well. And if it's okay to just sing one verse of one song, but I also want to spend this your time in singing as well. Shane?
Everybody sing verse 1, the melody, and then verse 2, break into parts if you care to.
Comfort, comfort ye my people, speak ye Jesus, saith our God. Comfort those who sit in darkness, mourning me.
Thank you. time for Sunday school class. We'll dismiss the teachers to the basement. The children can follow. For the adults this morning, we'll be studying Mark 6, verses 1 through 20. Next week is verses 21 through 44. You're dismissed.
Matters to me, there was a call to